This is a dispensation where God's calling us to Him. He wants all parts of us, not just a little here and a little there. He wants every bit of us. And Father, I thank you and I praise you right now for being in our presence this morning. I thank you for those who came out to visit and just sit in your presence and to eat the fresh manna from heaven, Father. Let your angelic host walk to and fro throughout these chairs and minister to every need that's here this morning, Father. Open up their spiritual ears and their spiritual understanding. And Father God, let them receive your word this morning as truth. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited with what God is doing in the body of Christ. I'm excited with how he's brought us through the trials and the tribulations, the tests. I'm excited the fact that he didn't let us die out there in the wilderness, that he kept our hand and he brought us through. And I'm excited that some of you have really been going through a lot of trials and tribulations, but you hung on. You might not be where you want to be, but you hung on. And you're ready now to go forth and do the great mighty works that God would have you to do. This morning I'm going to talk about Isaiah 54. That scripture is one that God gave me when I first started the church. He said, this is your scripture. You can live by this. But I read something and somebody else read about it, the Isaiah 54 anointing. And this is why I'm talking about this morning. The body of Christ has to come into agreement with God that he wants to bless us and not curse us. That he has every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob already there to give and pour into our spirit man. But we have to be ready to receive it. You know, he can't pour it in unless you're ready to receive it. A lot of people are saying with their lips they're ready, but with their heart they're not. So he said we have to understand there is a difference too. You have to have down in your heart, you have to have it settled that I am now ready to be blessed and I don't want to be cursed any longer. I was blessed for years and years and years, and came one day God said, now you're going to walk under the curse. And walk under the curse I did. But Isaiah 54 then tells me that when God's all finished being upset with me, then he blesses. So I'm back into the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I can't help if you like it or not. I'm excited about it. Amen. All right, let's read Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Read this again because each one of you need to get this into your spirit. Enlarge your place of your tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Now, I want you to know that today is the day that God wants you to do that. God gave me this verse 2 a couple years ago, and what he meant was move on, get out of this building, and I didn't do it, and I'm still here. So I'm telling you this morning, move on. If God's telling you to do something, move on and do it. Don't miss God. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. See, if you stretch out your tent pegs, you shall expand to the right and to the left. Then verse 4 says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. See that? No matter if God's telling you to do something, just go ahead and do what he's telling you to do, because you're not going to be ashamed, because God told you to do it, and he's going to be there to lead you through it. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. See that? It's not this physical body sitting beside you. But for your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Verse 6 says, for the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. Then verse 7, for a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. So if some of you feel like God has forsaken you, he's ready to gather you. That this is the year. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. And this is what God did to me. And then see, God told me to go back and read this certain verses here, and he was explaining to me what was going on in my life. In verse 8, with little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. We're in the year of Jubilee. This is year, got this scriptures for you guys this morning too. That's why we're going over it. Verse 10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not be depart from you. See that? This is all promises from God. You nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. God's not going to remove you, and he's not going to remove his covenant of peace, says the Lord who has mercy on you. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundation with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children, all of your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Hallelujah. Come on. All your children, not one or two, shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Verse 14, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. I want you to grab hold of this morning, because this is for this body this morning. Indeed, they shall surely assemble. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. See that? Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Come on. Get this in your spirit. Behold, I have created a blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created a spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Go back and read 17 again. No weapon, I don't care what anybody's doing to you, saying it to you, or nothing else. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now, do you have that in your spirit? I know God told me early on in my ministry that this was my chapter, but now God is saying this anointing is here now in this dispensation for the whole entire body of Christ. Hang on to this and don't let go. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Who's going to do that? Your descendants, your children. See that? Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. You need to understand that right now is the time that God is going to be sending many of you out in the highways and the byways to do the works that God's called you forth to do. He has been preparing you for a couple years now. You've been going through one trial after another, one test after another. You've gone through the furnace of affliction till you think that they can't fire it any hotter, right? Well, now is a year of Jubilee, and now is the time that God wants to bring us to this place in his kingdom where he has always ordained us to be. There are times that God speaks when there is an immediacy to what he is saying. And over the last 3 weeks, I have been hearing God say hundreds of times that we are in an Isaiah 54 season. For me, this is about entering into the promises of God by force and have it at I've been teaching you that we have to take this kingdom by force, right? God's just not going to lay it in our lap. That's why we've been fighting so hard. But now, We've entered into, I'm hearing God say, we've entered into his peace and into his rest. And now he's able to use us the way he desires to use us in all of his fullness. If you grab hold of this teaching today, you will be like Joshua and Caleb, who entered into the promised land and took that which was their inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't care what your eyes are telling you. I don't care what your ears are hearing. It is, what is God saying? What is God doing? And some of you right now, you're going to find out that you know, God's separating us. He's separating us from those who are not for us, who are against us. He's separating us. And we have to understand this. If don't fight against it. If God is separating, then let him separate. God's going to be bringing people into your life that you never met before. Let him bring those people into your life. This is part of God's plan right now for this Jubilee year, so we can receive all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has more than you can even imagine for your life. God really does have more than you can even imagine for your life. I'm here today to tell you that I never thought that I'd be doing what I'm doing today. You know, after the hell I've been going through, I thought I'd be buried 6 feet under. But God, in his mercy and his grace, he kept put those in my path who prayed for me and who loved me and just kept holding me up. And God kept saying, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. He's always an encourager. He's always a comforter. And he always says, don't quit. And because I stayed the course, see, you have to stay the course when all this is going on. You have to stay the course. Others can be praying for you, but you're the one that cannot quit. You're the one that has to stay the course. If Nancy's praying for me, she can't stay the course for me. I have to stay the course. Are you understanding this? Most people will live in complacency and not accept the greater blessings that God has in store for them. I don't want anybody here to be that person this morning. Most people will live in complacency and not accept the greater blessings that God has in store for them. There is a poverty mentality in a church in which the people of God will actually accept less than what God would have for their lives because they think they don't deserve it. We deserve everything. We are the king's kids. We're spoilt. Amen. We're the king's kids. We deserve everything. After all, didn't the enemy steal what God gave us? And God is saying it's time for him to return 100-fold what he stole. Amen. The truth is that God has more for your life than you can imagine in any one moment. And I believe there's a lot of us sitting here this morning who say that is absolutely, positively true. You know, the things that God does for you, you stand in awe, don't you? And think, you're so awesome, God. So awesome. You know, he's long-suffering. And he loves us even though we're dumb. You know, I call us dumb, you know. He still loves us. He still said, that's my child. He tells the devil, you can't touch them. In here this morning, there are those of us who need some new things. There are some people who need cars, houses, boats, and planes for the gospel's sake. You know, Brother Brett and Sister Nancy, you think about this day as we go on, you need a new house. Brother Chris, you need a new house. You need out of your trailer. I need a new car. You know, what is it? See, I don't know what you all need. What is it that you need? This is a year that God wants to give it to us. Amen. I've been wanting to buy a car, but God keeps telling me no. So I believe he's going to give me one. Amen. I really believe he's going to give me one because he won't let me go buy one. I could go buy one. But he's saying no, sit still. So I'm excited. And I hope each one of you are excited. So if you want something and God's saying, sit still, get excited because he's going to freely give it to you. You're not going to have to pay for it. I actually believe that we are in a strong window in this moment for obtaining these things for our life. I just know that I know that I know that we're there because of how God's been dealing with me about things, dreams and visions and all. He's been showing me all kinds of things through dreams and visions of what we're going to be doing in the church in the future, short future. And I'm just really excited because I know that God told us at the beginning of the year, this is our year of Jubilee. Years ago, when people said it was a year of Jubilee, God spoke to me. Nobody was getting blessed. And God said, everybody's year of Jubilee is when they can believe for it. All right. So I want each one of you this morning to believe that this, because this really is the year of Jubilee. It really, truly is. Amen. On the Jewish calendar, we are actually in the year 5776. This is the Jewish year of Jubilee. Jubilee was instituted by God as a day when all of Israel were liberated from slavery and debt. All right, we're in debt, we're in slavery to that debt, right? So we all want to be liberated this year out of slavery and debt, right? Come on. Every 50 years, God commanded that Israel return ancestral lands to the people who became poor in the previous 50 years. Now, before we read Leviticus, wouldn't you love somebody to come up to you and say, here, you can have them my house. It's yours free and clear. And then God makes a way supernaturally for you to keep that house. Amen. Brother Chris Lynch, remember what God, the vision God gave you to this big house? You're going to bring people into it and have the Holy Spirit on me. That vision is still there. God still wants to do that. So whatever it is that God and the Spirit's really on me, so you need to believe for that. All right? Quit settling for second best. Remember what God told me, daughter? I want you to have the very best, and you always settle for second best. Well, you know what? I quit settling for second best. If I can't have the best, I don't want anything at all. Because God told me that's what he wants me to have. So I'm lining up with the word of God, not my desire, but I'm lining up. Well, I do want to have the very best, but because God told me, then I can do it. All right. Leviticus 25 verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, say he's given it to them, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and the 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the Lord, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. He says, I'm giving this to you, and this is how you're supposed to take care of it. And if you take care of it like I tell you to, it's going to produce for you forever. Amen. And Leviticus 25, 8 through 10 says, God keeps saying, and you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. God laid it all out. All they had to do was follow the guidelines. God's laying everything I've been reading for the last 3 days is God's ready to bless. God's God is ready to pour out a blessing we can't contain. He's getting ready to transfer the wealth of the wicked to the righteous. Everything I'm reading, God is ready to bring us into that place that he's been telling us we can go to. The Jews in Egypt were a people bound by slavery. When they were delivered from that life, God made it so they would never permanently be slaves again. And I know that as God brings us out of slavery to debt, that we will never be slaves to debt ever again. I know that. I know that as sure as I'm standing here. Because I trust what my Father says. During the 49 years up to the Jubilee, see, we've been working up to this year. People may have gone into debt or lost lands because of poverty, but when the Jubilee occurred, they were set free and their lands were returned to them. This was an inheritance of the Lord. I want each one of you right now to say, God, I accept my inheritance from you this morning. Can you imagine for a moment what it must have been like for those who lived in poverty the day before Jubilee to have their lands returned to them? Can you just picture yourself being in poverty today and tomorrow you wake up and all your debt is wiped out? You know, you have a brand new home standing before you. Can you? You have to get this in your spirit because this is really God. I had a sermon all together about worry. And then God said, no, this is what we need this morning. I want you to, I'm not hyping you up. I'm not. I want you to get excited because this is what God has said, not me. But God has said, this is our year of Jubilee. It was something they would never have accomplished on their own strength. Come on. Every one of you sitting, you remember the things God spoke to you and you're thinking, how am I ever going to do that? You're not going to be able to do it on your own strength. God is going to do it for you. One time God told me about Brett and Nancy, you'll be surprised how they move out of the church. So I'm waiting for the surprise. Yeah, I'm excited. What I mean is I want to see what that surprise is, how that's really going to happen. We don't, and they've had dreams and visions about different buildings. And so we don't know what God's going to do. And none of us know, and I've got the Holy Spirit over me. God, we do not understand the fullness of what God's glory in these blessings is getting ready to pour out upon us. Amen. Jubilee occurred on the Day of Atonement, which was the day that the high priest went into the temple to perform the sacrifice for all of Israel. The priest would shed the blood of one lamb for the nation, but he also laid his hands on his second sacrifice and released the sin of Israel onto the head of the scapegoat. This animal was then released into the desert to live freely. You can read that in Leviticus 16 when you go home. This very much symbolizes what Christ did for us on the cross. There is not one of us who is without sin, so don't sit here and be so pious. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We work towards righteousness, right? There is not one of us who deserves to be free. The weight of our sin would have destroyed us if it weren't for Christ's sacrifice on the cross. In Christ, you and I were meant to live in Jubilee. God never meant us to be in poverty. We should have always been living in Jubilee, but because of circumstances in life, because the church was ignorant of God's ways, we lived in poverty. But God said, that's finished. He said, I've sent out an acquisition, whatever that is, and it's finished. Amen. If you can believe me this morning, it's God speaking, you will enter into your Jubilee, and you will no longer go back into debt, slavery to debt. But you will have more than enough for yourself, and your coffer will overflow, and you can give into other people's lives. Amen. So I said, in Christ, you and I were meant to live in Jubilee. This is a spiritual principle about being set free from the weight and burden of sin. But I believe it's more than this. I believe Jesus intended for us to live in wealth in this world. I believe God wants us to possess the lands, to earn a good living, and to be free financially. Why? So that we are not burdened or a burden to anyone, and so that we can bless many. Now let's read that again. I believe God wants us to possess the lands, to earn a good living, and be free financially. Why? So that we are not burdened or a burden to anyone, and so that we can bless many. Remember I said the other night, when people are in my home, I feel like I should be able to support them. They shouldn't have to support me. I shouldn't have to worry about where the money's come. If God had me bring them in, that I should be able to support them. Right? There are so many in the body that are struggling with poverty, debt, and lack, and this is not a blessing. It is a curse, and the people in our time are plagued with it. Now, poverty is a spiritual reality that keeps people captive. It is a mentality that will keep you from entering into the promises of God for your life. Poverty will tell you that you can't obtain a greater life because you can't afford it or because you do not deserve it. How many of you say, but I just can't do that right now. Every time I catch myself saying it, I say, yes, I can, and I'll go do it. Just to show the devil that I can do it, that he's not going to put me in poverty or keep me in poverty. Amen? And God always makes the way because I've decided in my heart, I'm not going to settle for second best. I'm going to have the very best. Now, don't go out and do something stupid. You see, this is something that has to come from the inside. This is something that God has got to nurture and bring forth out of you. But I'm telling you this morning, if you will grab hold of this, your poverty will be broken and you will have more than enough. I'm hearing God say, a couple of you in here, you will become multimillionaires in the next couple of years because you have decided I've finished with poverty and lack and I want to have more than enough. Now, whoever can grab hold of that, he didn't say who you were, but whoever can grab hold of that, you are the ones that God's going to do that for. Now, debt will lock you into failure for generations to come. Isn't that true? Fear of finances will bind you and keep you from accomplishing great things for the Lord. Now, how many years has God been saying that the body of Christ must get out of debt? This is a year God wants us to get out of debt. Now, if you trust God and believe God, he will bring you out of debt. All right? Testimony of God's faithfulness. We need to become risk takers. We need to become risk takers. In Christ, we need to learn to take great steps of faith. This will result in your doing things you never imagined. Come on. This will result in your doing things you never imagined that you would do and obtaining things in life you have always dreamed of. We need to quit dreaming about it, and we have to receive it. Amen. All right, this is a testimony of the young man who wrote the original article. At the beginning of this year, I had so much debt and my car was really old. I needed a new car, but in the natural, I would have to wait 3 more years to get it. Well, today I have new cars with the S on the end. I know that many get upset when we begin to talk about possessing material things, but God is not upset about this. I have learned to give these things away when God tells me to. See that? I have given 2 vehicles away this year, plus some of my salary. But yet he said he still has cars. See, we're afraid to give anything away for fear that we'll have a lack. But that's not true. If God lays it upon your heart to give it away, then God is going to restore it back to you. But if you just go, well, I'm going to start giving things away here, that doesn't work that way. It has to be that God is initiating the giving away. All right? When God said that he is going to expand you, and really this is what Isaiah 54 is about, there is nothing that you have to fear. Absolutely, positively nothing. When the 12 spies went into the Canaan land and saw the giants, they were terrified. However, God actually would have destroyed those giants if they had stepped into believing that he could. You see that? He would have, because he gave them the land. He just said, go into the land and look and see what I'm giving you. Well, they went there and got all upset and got scared and feared. And they said, we can't do that. No, they couldn't, but God could. There's things God's going to ask you to do. He's asked me to do many things that I myself can't do. But because he's asked me to do it, and I take that step of faith, he does it. Because he said, whatever you place your hands to do in faith, I will do it for you. See, and this is where we fall short. We never put our hands forth in faith to do anything because we're afraid it's not going to work. If you're God's child and you know God's calling you to do something, take the step of faith and do it, and he'll be there and he'll finish the works. As a result, they spent 40 years in the desert wondering. This is what happens when you don't believe, trust God. They spent 40 years in the desert wondering until a generation rose up that could believe that God would help them with their giants. Who are the people in this generation that will believe for more? I'm here to tell you this morning. This younger generation will step into this and believe God with all their beings. They're out there working for the devil with everything they have. And so when they come into the body of Christ, they had a lot out there working for the devil because he gave them whatever they wanted. They're going to come into the body of Christ and they're going to expect God to do the very same thing. And they're going to demand it from him. And he's going to do it because he needs a generation. And see, this is what's happened. The old folk in the church, they've died on the vine. So now God's bringing in new fresh blood. And this new fresh blood is going to do a great and powerful work for the Father. But he's still going to use the old folk too. So don't get all excited. We have to be here to keep the young ones they will have to have somebody to adjust them a little bit because they're going to go wild is what God's been showing me. Amen. Well, I said, who are the people in this generation that will believe for more? I said, the younger generation, but I intend to be one of those too. Don't you? Don't you intend to be one of those? We're going to be right beside them young whippersnappers say, hey, I have more information you do, and I'll help you if you agree with me. Amen. Come on. Now, see, God's got to deal with work me because I really get upset with a younger person trying to control me or tell me what to do. That upsets me. I think you don't even aren't even dry behind your ears yet, and you're trying to tell me what to do. You know, I've been through hell and back so many times I don't care to think about it, and you're standing there trying to tell me something that's not right. So I have a problem with that, but God will work that out, right? Starting today, you need to ask the Lord for wisdom to help you enter a better life for yourself. See that? He will help you all along the way. If you put him in the mix, he'll help you all along the way. From the day I was born again, every step that I have taken has been by faith. I didn't know how to do anything, but God said, my Holy Spirit will teach you. Everything is still by faith today. Amen? Everything that I have has come when I dared to believe that God has more for my life. All right? I built the house I'm living in by faith. I received my education by faith. It wasn't, everybody says, it's just not possible to do that. Well, it is possible. Everything's possible through God. Your ministry will grow as a result of listening to God. He has more for you than you're even willing to receive. Each one of you know it, you guys, I give you an assignment to do from God. I push you to the very limit because you're not using your full potential. And God doesn't start programs to stop them in the middle. When he starts a program, he wants it carried to the very end. And we'll all know when that program is ended. Too many people, you know, they pick up an assignment and then they drop it because that devil keeps too hard, too long. I don't have enough time. That's all a bunch of lies. If God has called you to do it, then you say, well, he didn't call me. You told me. Well, I told you because he told me to tell you. Amen. So that's how it works. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Let's read that again. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, not just one or two, and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, I know that your souls are prospering. I know that. Therefore, you should be prospering in every area of your life. Remember, I saw you the first day you came. And I've watched you through the years, and I know that your soul is prospering. So now you are ready to step into the Jubilee and receive everything God has for you. Yes. This morning, I challenge you to believe for more from God. That's a challenge I'm sending out to you, that you believe for more from God. I pray that you start building up your faith to enter into his greatest promises yet. Get ready for your Isaiah 54 season. Get ready for your Jubilee. Now, we're about out of 2016, so get on the stick. Because God told us at the beginning of 2016, this was our Jubilee year. And I've been telling you, I'm reminding you all along. Now, I want you, before this year ends, I want you in your Jubilee year. I want you to be receiving all that God has for you. Get ready to be a sign and a wonder to the nations. Get ready to be a sign and a wonder to the nations of the great provision that God provides to his people. All right? Get ready. You're putting the other one up, Nancy. Get ready to be a sign and a wonder, guys. Look at Chris Lynch. He's lived in that run-down trailer, mold everywhere. The doors are falling off, mice invading. And look, he's got a big mansion. A sign and a wonder. I got the spirit off. Oh, you're going to get your house. Look at Brett and Nancy and them 8 kids all stacked up there in them couple rooms. And all of a sudden they had this great big humongous house that the kids won't clean. Amen. That's a sign and a wonder. Look at Pastor Barbara. She's driving her car and the paint's peeling off of it. You know? And here she is driving this great big, I don't know what God's going to give me. I'll say, I don't want a Mercedes. Because it's a great big Mercedes. A Mercedes, a sign and a wonder. You see what I'm saying? Whatever it is that you have need of. This is what God is. I wouldn't be standing up here giving you this if God didn't tell me to give you this. Because I think you need to hear more about worry, how it's going to take you to hell, than you do about Jubilee. But God this morning wants you to know about Jubilee. See, so I go with what God does. So I'll tell you about worry probably Wednesday. you're already excited about Jubilee, so then I give you worries. Then you'll know, I don't want to worry because I lose my Jubilee, all right? Now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I am declaring to you, today is the day of your salvation and deliverance. I declare today a severance from every assignment of the enemy over your life. Freedom is now. Break every shackle and every chain now.
Yes.
And I'm talking about your poverty levels, all right?
Yes.
You also decree a thing. You will decree a thing,
yes,
and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways. That's Job 22:28. You, not me, you will decree a thing over your life. All right? Lift up your prophetic finger and declare with me. In Christ, I have been made alive, raised together, and seated together in the heavenly places. Now, do you believe that? Your prophetic finger is this finger, right? That's when I didn't say raise all your hands. I said raise your prophetic finger. All right. Now, we got this straight. All right.
Yes.
Now, in Christ,
I
live on a higher plane,
and every power,
principality,
dominion,
and throne
is under my feet.
Now, all right, put him under your feet. Go ahead, you can stomp. That's good. That's good. That little tap dance isn't going to work. You're going to stomp him under your feet. Now, you guys were fine. I'm talking about the ones on this side. They don't know how to put anything under the feet. You guys have tried practice a long time now. Okay? Yeah.
In Christ,
and by the power of the Holy Spirit,
I break every spirit of fear,
failure,
lack,
poverty,
sickness,
disease,
suicide,
and death,
depression,
and discouragement.
You have to scatter and flee.
Tell him go, scatter and flee. Come on, come on,
come on.
Amen. Let's say that's better. In Christ,
every shackle
and chain
is broken,
and my spirit is free.
Yes.
Yippee! Come on. Yes. Thank you. So the last one was, in Christ, every shackle and chain is broken, my spirit is free. Now,
in Christ,
today is my day
of salvation
and deliverance.
Freedom is now.
Freedom is mine.
I take it back.
In Jesus'
name.
I like you guys over here, but the guys in here are just a little bit slow. You guys are really going to receive it because you are declaring it, decreeing it, and you mean it. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Do you know how much God loves you?
I love
him. He loves you more than you can ever even imagine. And he loves you so much, he does not want you to stay in poverty not 1 year longer. He wants to, how are we going to work for God if we're poor? We can't. So God must pour his finances into our bosoms so we can do the work that God has for us to do. When God said, I'm going to give you a new building, and when you get the new building, you don't have to worry about buying the building or the land. You won't have to worry about where the money's come from to put equip it. I'm going to do it all for you. It's all going to be there. I believe that. Because we know that this little church and ourselves, we can't do any of that. But God can do all things. He can make everything possible. And this morning, I want you to be so secure in your knowledge of God that this is your year of Jubilee.
It is.
Claim it. You claim it right now today. It starts right now today. Everything that I have need of, God is supplying.
Everything.
You know, this morning as I was laying in bed and I was praying, God gave me the parable about how he gives you a little bit. You know, he gave us the servants the monies, and some multiplied it and some buried it and some squandered it. And you know, God said I gave them that to test them to see if they could handle the bigger things. So how are you handling your money now? If you are not handling your money properly now, God cannot give you any more to squander. Because it is not the squander It is to further his kingdom. All right. So if you're one that you're not doing too well with your monies, I would really quickly today get sit down and repent and tell God, I need you to help me straighten out my finances so that I will be able to handle the billions that you're going to give me. Amen. Come on. And I'm hearing God say, freely you receive, so freely give. So once he starts pouring into your bosom, don't hold it there thinking you'll be poor again, because some people do that. Know that God said once he starts a supply, it's never going to end. It's a never-ending supply from his storehouse in heaven, not from any place here on earth, but from his storehouse in heaven. What are you going to do when the finances, you know, financial situation breaks here in the United States? You're going to have to rely on God to supply your need, right? And I'm hearing him say he hates hoarders, H-O-R-D-E-R. He hates you to hoard. He said, freely you receive, freely give. So always keep that in the foremost part of your mind. If you see somebody in need, freely God gave it to you, then freely you give it back out. If you hold on to it, God's not going to bless you any further. So I'm just admonishing you this morning. There's just some things that you have to do too once your blessing starts being poured out upon you. Can't go around bragging, look what I got, look what I got, look what I got. Because God might give you $100 and then you say, you're so excited, you really need that $100. And then you run across somebody and God said, give them that $100 I just gave you. But that's mine. No, it's God's. And if you'll give it away freely, he'll give you more than $100 back. You see how this might work? Yeah, I believe it's going to, because he just told me to tell you that. You know, he's going to test you. What are you going to do with this money that I put in your hands? If you need it desperately and I ask you to give it away, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to keep it and do what you need, or are you going to freely give it away knowing that God is, and not even knowing that God is able to return it, just give it away because that's what God tells us to do. Freely receive, freely give. There are many of you in here, and this is what I'm hearing God say. There's many of you in here this morning. You're in a place of transition from the old to the new. Some of you are halfway. Some of you are three quarters. Some of you are just at the point of stepping over. And he said he wants you to know this morning that he's there with you. And don't turn around, look back. Whatever you do, don't look back at anything. But keep forging forward, keeping your eyes on Jesus and his promises, and then receive everything that he has for you. He said, what the palmer and cankerworm has stolen from you, he's going to return back to you 100-fold. And whenever you can manage 100-fold, then he's going to give you 1,000-fold. And when you can manage 1,000-fold, then he's going to bring you into the 1,000,000-fold. So, you know, he's going to be testing us, you know, a little bit, just see how we handle that a little bit more. And when you prove to God that you can handle money, then, you know, there's no limit to what he's going to pour into your bosom. Amen. So be a giver. Don't be a hoarder. Don't hoard things to you, but be a giver. Amen. Father, I just thank you this morning for your people came out. These are the ones you wanted to hear this word this morning. I know how you work, Father. So, Father God, I know everybody in this building, it's their Jubilee year, and it's time for their blessings to start. And I'm hearing you say, even today, he wants your miracles to begin. And he's saying, don't trust in the leaven of this world. Trust in my kingdom. Trust me with the finances. Don't look for the finances to come to you in any way by you borrowing or somebody just wanting to give you so you can give back. Trust me, and I will supply all that you have need of. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you.